about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 547. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm joined, as always, by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every other Wednesday at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is a Wednesday, December 18th, 2019. On the show today, we have our friends at Circus Chicken Dog and the Vortex and their show, The Muttcat Cracker. Sweet! Their microphones weren't on, but that's exactly what they did. We also have the Penfold Theater in It's a Wonderful Life radio show. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Timbuktu, and Boo Duck Tim. We'll be right back.
It's time, maybe.
Boo Duck Tim? No, this the microphone I just tested does not indeed work.
So voila. The sticker is right.
Voila. Oh, and that's why you couldn't hear me very well, because I was speaking into the microphone that doesn't work.
Voila.
There was a reason why people hid it from me. You aren't
voila.
On. Oh, my Lord. It's going to be, it is going to be one of those days.
It's already been one of those weeks. Yeah. I could have told you that by 11 a.m. on Monday.
Well, it was 20 degrees out this morning, and now it's 80.
I know. I have to keep changing clothes. I have ensemble changes, costume changes.
One has to do that. So checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I am here, spreading Christmas cheer.
Oh,
woohoo.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay, it's let's Christmas introduce the folks that are here in the studio with us, shall we?
They're here to spread Christmas cheer, too.
We have David Jarrett. Hi, David. Welcome back.
Hello, hello.
Everybody here's been on the show before, I think, except for Carlo.
No, I've been here.
Oh, you've been here. Never mind. Okay, we have Ryan Crowder.
Hello.
And we have the incomparable Robert Barry.
I am incomparable.
You are incomparable. And, of course, we have Darren Peterson.
Hello.
And Carlo Gentile.
Buongiorno.
Who has been here before.
Yes.
So we've all been here. Yes, he has. I can't. You know me and memory. So first of all, this just happened today, and it didn't even get in onto our script. But
breaking news.
It's giving you.
Well, she has a soundbite, but she wasn't on it. It is crime. Give me that.
No, it isn't crime, actually.
But, you know.
Yeah, anyway. Danny Aiello passed away.
Oh, yes. No, that is not crime. But
no,
that
it's
was
not
sad.
Crime at all. It's very sad. Well, he was not young.
He was not young. No, he lived a full life.
He did, but I didn't. I did not know that he died. That happened today. And I'm
it
looking
didn't
for...
happen today. It happened the other... It happened Friday.
Oh, Saturday. It just came across my thing today.
Yeah, no, it happened a few days ago.
It happened. As a matter of fact, it happened... I got the notice on the New York Times...
No, it happened the other day.
On December 13th. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, that's Friday.
Look at that. How did that happen? Yeah, so I was, as usual, wrong.
We call that Canadian news.
We call that Lisa news. Anyway.
No, seriously. I was in Canada and multiple people died, including Patrick Swayze. And it was like 4 days later. My whole family's like, Canadian news, Nicole. You're like way behind. That happened 4 days ago. So I just... Now, call that all Canadian news.
So that's, I'm going to call you out on being anti-Canadian.
I'm not anti-Canadian.
Just saying.
Canada.
Just saying.
That's why I was there.
Anyway, so he's known mostly for movies, but he began his acting career on the New York stage, and guess how many Broadway shows he was in?
I think
anybody?
Like six or seven, right?
5,653.
5,653 and then six or seven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seven.
Seven. We have a winner.
We have.
Ding, ding, ding.
We do.
I won the showcase showdown. I did not go over.
But he was in Gemini. He was in The House of Blue Leaves, and other things.
That one I knew. Some of the other ones I was surprised by, but I knew the house. I love House of Blue Leaves.
Yeah. Well, and he won an. Oh, he was also in Hurley Burley.
Mm-hmm.
or as I like to call it, hoily boily.
Hoily boily.
Hoily boily. Anyway, we had a couple of openings, but I want to talk first about Harry Connick Jr.
Well, that was an opening.
It was an opening. So he opened with his Cole Porter review, and it had Josie. Oh my God, Jose Solis, Josie. I'm gonna be. Yeah. Anyway, he called it a combination of a cocktail hour chit chat, swoon worthy music, over the top theatrical displays, and delicious camp.
Yes.
Now, when I think of Harry Connick Jr., I think of camp.
Delicious camp, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think.
No,
of camp,
I know
but I
you're
think
being facetious.
Anybody?
No.
No. Yeah. All right. But a very nice review in the New York Times for it.
It was. There was mixed reviews everywhere and weird stuff. I think the most, the big thing, everybody was like, it was just a very odd song choice for Cole Porter's songs. That's what I heard a lot. And I'm like, well, he did write a lot of songs. Do you always want to hear the exact same song all the time?
He did. Of all the
and
critics.
Luke got a nice shout out for his choreography that he did. He's the one that did all the big tap number on top of the piano.
And Luke
and was
is...
in the video. Luke Hawkins, who's the choreographer okay. and one of the
there
people
you go.
In there.
People like to know the last name.
Not, Luke Hawkins.
They could have thought you were thinking about Luke from
Skywalker,
Star Wars.
I know.
Yes. So everybody universally liked it, except for Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast. He said the passion promised in the playbill, the love and reverence Connick Jr. claims to feel for Porter, doesn't translate or come alive on stage.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot of spoilers they weren't allowed to share, but they kept talking about there were spoilers that they weren't allowed to share.
So here's some words, you know, me and words. He says, although Connick shares some facts about Porter's life, the show is never reduced to hagiography. Anybody?
Hagiography?
No, hagiography. Study of the lives of the saints.
Study of the lies of the saints.
Yeah, that's
how. How often does one get to use that word?
About as often as you get to use the words, as Charles Isherwood did in the review of the same show, coruscating and insouciant.
We'll do the in context, please.
Okay, well, hold on. I gotta pull up my dictionary.com on my phone so I know what they mean. Although the composer lyricist is justifiably renowned for his coruscating wit and his insouciant wordplay. Anybody?
Give it to us, Lisa.
No. Well, it seems to be gone. Oh, there it is. So here's insouciant. First of all,
insouciant.
I mispronounced it. It's actually pronounced.
Insouciant.
Okay. insouciant is free from concern.
Does that make sense?
Free from concern wordplay. And the other one, which was coruscating, and I pronounced it coruscating, and of course it is pronounced...
Coruscate.
Okay.
Emit vivid flashes of light.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I don't know.
Do you think they sit there with a dart and have just words all over the wall and just throw it and go, we're going to make that work?
I think they do. It's like, I want to find a word that I could easily use a word that everybody would understand, but I know Lisa likes to go to her dictionary.com.
There you go. Well,
so,
I think that's specifically why they do it.
I know. It's all about
it
me.
Totally is. The New York Times is like, you know what? Let's give Lisa and Nicole something to ponder upon this week.
So Sing Street opened.
Yes.
And it's an adaptation of a 2016 film, which I'm unfamiliar with. Anybody familiar with it? David Jarrett raised his hand. And you saw it. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was cute. I liked it.
Should it be made?
Heartwarming.
Doesn't sound cute. Is it cute?
It's kind of heartwarming.
Okay. It's the book by Enda Wash and songs by Gary Clark and John Carney. And it's the same production team that did Once. Which is also taken from a film.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Rebecca Teichman, who I just fell in love with for her direction of Indecent.
I was about to say
she also directed Hades Town, so mm-hmm. she's out there. Although this reviewer Ben Brantley, never heard of him, wasn't fond of her direction. Said it fell flat.
Interesting. Well, you know, he's one dude.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It says, I don't know why I did this. Oh, yeah. It said there's a lot of trite lines. For instance, he said, Connor's older agoraphobic brother, Brendan, who is the appealing Gus Halper, is saddled with the I could have been a contender speech that no one should have to deliver. And then there's a surfeit of inspirational follow your dreams lines, and they're cumbersome running jokes like the one about the playwright John Millington Synge.
I love somebody that's writing for a newspaper calling a play trite.
Well, so do you think the newspapers are always trite?
Not always.
but of course...
But they get to depend on actual events.
That's true. That's true. Oh, sorry. Somebody was speaking, and I forgot. Actually, I did not...
Are you going to tell people what's going on in here?
Yeah, we are actually in the midst of a filming of a documentary of Darren Peterson and the Nutcracker.
Sweet.
Actually, I think it's actually a documentary of my brother James.
Okay.
Down syndrome.
Oh, okay. And I should say that the videographer here is Cassandra Thibodeau. Did I pronounce that properly?
Yes, Cassandra Thibodeau.
Cassandra. I left out the R. That's what I do with croissants as well. Leave out the R. All right.
Poor little croissants.
I'm going to stop talking
about
shows that exist. This was an interesting article that came out. Is today the 18th? It came out today.
Today is the 18th.
The headline is, the show must go on and on and on. And what they're talking about is this propensity these days to do a show after the curtain call is over.
Oh, yes.
And I want to know how other people feel about this, because I don't like it. I will stay right up here and say, when the curtain call is over, I'm ready to leave the theater. And then when they come on and they start, and my friends at Zach Theater do this on every show, and they make me sit there through after the curtain call to hear a speech. And I don't like that. I want to leave after the curtain call.
Well, I have a problem with that, because when do you think Broadway Equity Fights AIDS, Broadway Cares, when do you think they do their buckets? The whole cast comes out.
They used to do it at intermission.
No, they don't. They do it at the very end of the show
I'm just going to say one thing, that's different. That's different from every night having an encore. How do other people feel?
The show Carlo and I were on, our artistic director said, we never do anything. We do one curtain call and that's it. We're done. And we never do an encore. And he loved having a clean finish.
Yeah, I'm with that. Anybody else have an opinion?
I'm ready to go to the bar. I mean, as an actor, you know.
At intermission.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
It doesn't bother. Sometimes it's special. I mean, it was special on the first anniversary of 9/11 when Harvey Fierstein came out into the audience in Hairspray.
I think those are different.
It was special when Prince died and everybody wanted to stay on stage and sing a whole bunch of tunes.
Again, that's different. That's different.
It doesn't bother me either way.
That's different from doing it every night
but
and expecting people to stay.
I don't see an encore at every show, not even in Austin.
Well, not every show. As a matter of fact, I think it's only really done at Zach. I see it at Zach a lot.
But I don't see it at every show there. What show?
Well, but now it's every show, the cast stays on and starts talking afterwards. Every show I've been to.
Talk back or an actual
No, talk back. There's something. It's usually like, come and meet us in the lobby. But to me, even that's too much. It's like after the bows, after the, I want to leave. But no, Zach doesn't, it's not a whole big thing with Zach. Zach comes on and says, usually the lead actor stands up and says, hey, everybody, we're going to go out to the bar, come and join us after. So that's really not that big of a deal. So I'll take that one back.
Because I'm all like, where are these encores? Where am I missing this?
Right.
You're
in
the shows. Have you been up there?
Zach, I guess
but
I
they
walk
do that
stage.
Every time.
So they're all on stage and you're just in the dressing room.
Here? No, we don't want to do an encore.
All right. So I will go on record saying I don't even like that. Once I'm done clapping, I like to walk up the aisle. And I don't want to be rude. And if somebody's talking afterwards, I'm not going to move and be rude and walk up the aisle while they're talking. But I wish they weren't talking. I'm just saying that. That's just me.
It seems like you're kind of spending a special event type thing unnecessarily.
Agreed.
You know, you're just all of a sudden taking that card out of the deck when you're theater manager or producer. Yeah.
Don't go see Tina Turner the musical, because they tell you when you sit, don't get up. There's three more songs when it ends, and there are.
So, yeah, that's right. So Tina,
and it's good.
Tina Turner the musical is called out in this article, as is Moulin Rouge, as is Christmas Carol, interestingly enough.
Oh, yes, they do it.
And Christmas Carol does a different take on it. Normally, they're doing... So Moulin Rouge is right after they're trying to bring everything up. So Tina Turner, they say, Tina's just fought through like all this
It ends at her in a big giant concert with the band, actually, the orchestra on stage from the pit. So it goes down and finishes a concert the way you see Tina. And they tell you to get up and jam.
For Christmas Carol... they go back the other way. They do a cappella, or not a cappella. The cast comes on
with bells
doing Silent Night, I think.
I think you are right. I don't know.
It's not very silent, then, is it?
No, it isn't.
Maybe it's not Silent Night. I don't know.
But don't anyway. You want to stay longer to see Campbell Scott ring them bells? I mean, they forgot that's Liza Minnelli's number.
I can see that that I'm in the minority here. So rather than try to defend myself, I'm just going to change the subject.
I was being a smarty pants. I don't need to stay and watch Campbell Scott ring bells.
So the original cast of Annie came together, because this was last night, in a redo of the 1977 Annie Christmas special. And I had to go back and look at that 1977 Christmas special because I don't remember it.
Yeah, was that great?
Well, here's just a little taste of it. Santa come in Carol 9, hark the herald. I lied. That wasn't it.
I was about to go, I don't remember like, that from it.
Here, I'm going to do it now. I'll tell you what. It's one of those shows. Here, let's listen to it now.
Aw, come on, ladies, where's your Christmas spirit? Think of Yule logs and eggnog.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Jack Frost snipping at your nose.
Mistletoe.
Tinsel.
Candy cane.
Bong, 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 bong. Cathedral chimes ring in your ear.
Your heart is filled with warmth and cheer.
And all over town, what's the one thing you hear?
It's Christmas.
Okay, and of course, that last solo singer was the one, Andrea McArdle.
I was like, that was Andrea McArdle. I knew that voice. She was trying to say
David Jarrett is...
I think they missed a bet by not doing It's a Hard Eggnog Life.
I had a little get-together in my house, and I bought a quart of eggnog that I forgot to put out during the party, and I drank it myself.
I was like, did you drink it by yourself?
I did.
David and I were just over here going, love some eggnog. We would do eggnog right now. Bring it up.
I can do it.
Good stuff.
So Andrew McArdle was not in this special that was on last night.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. It's like everybody else seemed to be.
I know. It was kind of odd, and I'm like, but you missed Annie. Where was Annie? Annie wasn't there.
Annie wasn't there.
She was getting her gun.
Okay. So did you hear about this Nebraska theater tour of Christmas Carol that had, I mean, this is not funny. They had a bus accident.
Yes.
And four people were injured. Not life-threatening. Not, they're all going to be fine.
But the whole tour bus, it's a tour.
The whole tour bus had an accident.
Back in the 90s, actually, 2 years.
And actually, with Nebraska theater?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And Rodrigo Zaragoza from Austin was on that tour.
Oh, my. Was he okay? Okay. Wow. But they canceled the entire tour after that, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I actually was kind of like, hats off to you for looking after your people. And yeah.
Yeah, so they're... Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if they still do this, since it's been a while since I've done it, but they used to send out like three buses at the same time. Like one's an East Coast tour, West Coast tour... One's,
it's very Shenyun.
So this is not a tour through Nebraska. This is nationwide. You have to speak into the microphone.
This was up in Connecticut or someplace where the accident took place.
Oh, you're probably right. I don't pay attention. Oh, it's in Maine. It was in Maine.
It was in Maine. Yeah, it was
near
way
Waterville,
up.
Maine.
Or when I saw where it was, I was like, "Ooh, there's been really bad weather there, and those are not the best. They're a little bit of a treacherous road in the first place."
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. They said, the theater said, while we are sad to see the tour cut short, we consider our theater a family and the safety and physical health and well-being of those involved most important. So I think that's good.
I thought it was cool.
All right. So, well, we'll then change the subject again.
Changing lanes.
And talk about, see, I almost didn't, so I saw this headline and I got a little...
Bait and switch, huh?
Was I got one of those? A little riffed up because I wanted to not like it. It's it was for a world premiere of a show called, a new musical called Gun and Powder. And I was pretty sure that was going to be something that I did not agree with.
But apparently you did.
I was wrong. So Leah Pfeiffer and Emmy Raver Lattman are going to be in this show called Gun and Powder. It is a new musical, and the world premiere is going to be at Virginia's Signature Theater. And it is directed by Robert O'Hara, who directed one slave play. This is a quote from Robert O'Hara. Gun and Powder is a period piece that transcends its period and takes two women of color on the most thrilling adventure of their lives during a time in which people of color were regularly seen as the supporting characters of other people's adventures. So it sounds like it's going to be
pretty good. Yeah, I saw I don't know where I saw that interview. I'll find it and send it to you, but I saw an interview on this specifically.
Can you say no to this Shayna Pudum here?
Look
this
at that.
Face.
Like that's a smile that is infectious.
Yeah, this is a photograph of Robert O'Hara. I'm gonna show it to the listening audience.
But it's okay. That picture is it captures an infectious smile.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think I have an infectious smile.
You do, and an infectious spirit.
Yes. No, I'm just infectious.
Well,
So Mrs. Doubtfire opened in Seattle.
I was like, out west. John,
does anybody remember the TV show Here Come the Brides?
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually Googled it last night and watched the
opening?
Yeah, the opening, because it goes, where the in Seattle. But I happened I got triggered by watching Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Oh.
Which is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but I did. I watched Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and then I thought of, Seattle. So Rob McClure in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
And I get Mrs. Doubtfire and Tootsie completely confused, as does many people, but I do as well. And they are likening it to each other, but the only thing that's similar is that there is a guy wearing a dress.
I was like, a guy dressed as a woman. There's...
Yep.
Yeah, well, stories are totally opposite.
Well, and they're both kind of the same era, aren't they?
No.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
No,
and,
it was like 10 years after Tootsie. Latifah's in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
She's the grandmother.
Okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Miss Latifah.
And she's talking about Latifah Terramina, who used to run Austin Circle of Theaters, and then Austin Creative Alliance, and now lives where?
She's out in L.A. area LA. With her son, Lincoln.
Yeah, and she also does, or did, Peace Day.
Yes, she was a partner in Peace Day. Yeah. Latifah still has her hands in everything.
Yep. So, anyway, this was, Mrs. Doubtfire was directed by Jerry Zaks, not a
bad name. He might go somewhere, you know?
So this review was less than kind to the show itself, but very kind to Mr. Rob McClure. Who they say
he's a delight to watch on stage.
He is indeed. Although I was not crazy about him in Chaplin, I must admit.
No, but you enjoyed him in Something Rotten.
I did enjoy him in Something Rotten. And I believe it's the same creative team.
I believe you are correct,
Something
Lisa.
Rotten. Anybody else see Something Rotten here in town? David Jarrett, raising hands on the radio, doesn't work.
I saw it on Broadway.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. So you went right when it opened.
Pretty much.
You see, I would have liked to. I love their ad campaign because those people will remember that Something Rotten opened the same season that Hamilton opened. Something Rotten did not win because Hamilton won.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and they did a great. They used
Christian Borle's "Hard to Be the Bard" video is epically fantastic.
All right, we have to finish up, but I just want to say real quickly: did anybody see SpongeBob? I didn't. I forgot to even talk about it last week.
I recorded it, and I haven't gotten to watch it yet.
And is it streamable somewhere?
So I missed the showing when it came on in the 7th, and I was clicking through channels and saw it, and went, "Oh my gosh! Thank gosh they're rebroadcasting it." And I clicked all times it was available. It's re-airing like 4 times, and I saw it on demand.
Oh, okay.
So cool. I'm going to say there's other ways to get it. And it wasn't just Nickelodeon. It was like 4 other channels in that Viacom. Or I guess they just had a merger this week. So ABC, Viacom, whatever the heck they're called now.
LisaCom, I like to call it.
It all happened on Monday. They merged the whole stuff.
So before we go, I just have to I have to talk about 2 things.
But I'll let you know when I watch it. It's on my plan over the holidays.
Okay. First of all, Carolina Change. Just going to say that because it's
love
coming
it.
Back.
Love I know. It.
But here was a great. This is actually. I should do this. And I'm hoping this maybe didn't
crime?
Even get your thing. This is from the stage in the UK.
The UK, I get that.
Lawyer found guilty of assaulting fashion designer in Royal Opera House. Did you see that?
It's not very keep calm and carry on, British people.
Oh, my God. So here's the deal. There was a couple sitting in some seats.
Yes.
There was an empty seat. And then there was another seat where this guy was in, and it wasn't a great seat. And he asked the couple if the empty seat was theirs. They said no. So he sat in it. Oh, no. And he said, do you mind if I sit in it? And the woman said, yes, I do mind. So he did it anyway. And her husband or her date or whoever slugged him.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Again, keep calm and carry on. They were not listening to the Queen.
On it.
Not end of the Queen.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back to talk to the Nutcracker.
Sweet.
We'll be right back.
Santa come in Caroline.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro, whose microphone is not on.
Hello.
There you are. What a great conversation we had.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's just jump right in and talk to Circus Chicken Dog and the Vortex and their production of The Nutcracker.
Sweet!
Which I was told when we went to break that I kept saying The Nutcracker, and I knew the difference.
Did you? I didn't even realize you were.
Here's the difference. We're going to talk to people about The Nutcracker. We're going to talk to people about The Muttcracker.
Sweet!
Yeah, you don't get that on The
Nutcracker. No, you don't. So, but every time I see it in print, I'm solo in my house and I go, sweet, out loud. It's just too fun not to.
So let's welcome back Darren Peterson.
Hello.
And Carlo Gentile.
Hi there.
So tell us about the Muttcracker.
Sweet.
This year.
Oh, it's sweet. We've got the Gentile family, the patriarch of the...
Well, they were here last year, were they not as well?
They were
the year before?
Four years ago.
Has it really been that long?
It's been that long.
Oh, my.
One new performer in the troupe.
Yeah, Carlo's wife was pregnant with the youngest when they were on the show 4 years ago. And there's a... The running joke was when they put the two-year-old up on Carlo's feet, he was like, hey, if we drop her, we've got one in the oven to replace her. I wasn't sure that was a great joke, but the audience laughed.
It worked.
Every time.
That's all that counts.
Yeah.
So you actually open this thing tomorrow night, right?
Oh, thanks for letting me know. Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome.
That's right, yes.
Anytime. Well, are you excited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every time I get to see this family perform, it's exciting.
So I was told I was supposed to ask you about juggling with your feet, and I just would like to know, juggling with your feet?
Oh, that's my specialty, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Lay on my back with my feet up in the air, and for a long time did tables, balls, cylinders, other objects, but most recently, last couple of years, it's just the kids.
You're juggling children?
Yeah.
With your feet?
Yeah.
He just said tables a minute ago, too. Did you miss that? That's the... Like,
and bases.
Yeah.
So I lay on my back and kick butt.
They never had me spotting when they were doing the tables and bases, but now that they've got their kids, they have me trying to make sure things don't hit the ground.
Well, that's pretty incredible. And now, but you're not juggling dogs.
No, we'll leave that to Darren.
I do the dog juggling. Yes, there is an actual dog juggling segment in the show.
Excellent. Do you have any new dogs this year?
That's what I was going to. I was wondering that, Lisa.
No, we...
a lot of
Nicole gets
dogs.
Really mad when I say a question she was thinking of.
We are at...
that I wanted to know.
Yes. Well, no, we're at five. James was promised that we would get a dog this Christmas, but that's not going to happen. James has two that he listens to CDs with constantly. James is my brother. He
I was
has
about
Down
to say.
Syndrome,
yeah, okay.
Yes. And he lives with me, and he is really good at taking care of the dogs. He's backstage with the dogs when they're not performing. And
does he come to every? So he comes to every show.
He's part of every single show.
James, awesome. James is a cast member. James is.
That's right. He's he comes out for the curtain call. And everybody wants to say hi and take a picture with James and the dogs.
Everybody,
and you're just left going, what about me?
Yes. That's, well, I'm used to it. I take the dogs out and nobody wants to know my name. Oh, what's his name? Oh, can I pet him? And I'm like, I'm standing right here.
Yeah. So
it's the same for me. I got the kids and I just, the baby comes out and I'm just like,
Right. Oh my God. Yeah, his kids and the dogs are like the perfect combination because it's just chaos. It looks like the dogs won't do anything. The kids are just running around like these kids aren't going to do. And then they do their perfect trick and then it's chaos again.
Chaos. Well, I have to take a quick tangential move to the left. Carlo, can you give me a number between 2 and 53?
17.
17. Let's see what that is.
Good afternoon, Austin. Here's the headline for today. And we're the cast of Newsies, and
you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP 91.7 FM. Hornsby, Austin.
Austin. Ooh, we're dancers.
Oh, yeah.
They were indeed. They're still talking. Austin.
That's my favorite one of all time.
That was a good one. We have not heard that one.
We haven't heard it in a while. I was like, breaking. I was like, oh, the news. Is
so
passed.
Run down what we'd see this year on the Muttcracker.
Let's see. Sweet. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. You come out to Party Scene. Clara is having a hard time. Her dog gets ripped in half by a dog and. Dogs do tricks, and there's more dog tricks or human tricks, juggling, unicycling. There's a live piano score, some
accordion.
I love accordion.
I find it one of the most fascinating instruments.
Yes, yeah. And I play accordion for the Famiglia Gentili routine until they need me to keep the kids from hitting the ground, and then we... wrap it all up with a happy ending, and it seems like the dream might have
been reality. Do you have an encore?
I was about to say you might have an encore for you, Lisa.
The encore is James. You get to talk to James.
Awesome. And you also have Lauren McCaw, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
How could you not mention Lauren McCaw yet?
You know, I've just got so many things that we forget. You know, what about the yo-yo? There's so many things that I forgot. Lauren McCaw is a real-life Scarlett McCaw that does she sings three songs.
She talks a lot.
She talks throughout the show. She sings during all of the songs.
She's very smart.
Does she say tomorrow is another day?
She loves singing songs about days. And
she
lives in the moment. She doesn't know about tomorrow.
She does. Well, and this was directed by Melissa Vogt.
That's right.
Correct.
Yes.
And Melissa was on the show last year. Did she change things up from a directorial standpoint this year?
Yes. Oh, my God. The opening number has the party scene all play a part in Clara's dream world. So yeah, like it's an adult party, and Clara starts talking about her imagination, and the cast all follows suit, and it's like that throughout the show.
And how many humans are involved in this show? As performers,
I'm going to guess six.
You're going to guess six?
Oh, wait, with the kids. Eight.
Well, I was going to say, well, there are six of us. Yeah, I mean, right. So start there and add.
Children.
So that's 10.
10. Five dogs. Scarlett McCaw. Yeah, so.
And a yo-yo.
And yo-yo-yo. What's yo-yo. Up?
And so, Carlo, tell me about a Famiglia Gentile.
Oh, we're just...
Gentile, excuse me.
Just. You're not just. You are.
I knew you were going to say that. We're a traveling circus family. Uh-huh. We travel around mostly U.S. It's been tougher to get outside the U.S. now that there's six of us. But we do shows with different circuses around the country. A lot of the year recently has been based in the San Francisco Bay Area. We came here from Oakland to do this show. A lot of times, though, we're on tour with tented shows and...
Well, I know that I have no doubt that the Muttcracker
Sweet.
Is your highlight of your year, but do you have any other, were there any other interesting circuses or times that you played that are very interesting you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, this year we created a new show with a bunch of our friends called Circus Nonsense, and we just...
They have some Cirque du Soleil performers that were in
we
that
do,
show.
Yeah. One of our... performers is in Amaluna right now in San Francisco.
Hey, awesome. List the circuses you were in this year.
The circus I was in, Circus Bella, Circus Nonsense, Circus Chicken Dog. I think that's it.
Big Apple Circus?
No, I was not in Big Apple Circus.
No, okay. That's my dictate to you. Get on Big Apple Circus.
I have a bunch of friends on the
show. She loves the Big Apple Circus.
I do. I love the Big Apple Circus.
I know. I agree with you. I'm all about it.
Have you seen it recently?
I have not.
My friend just went to the...
Because they shut down for a while.
Yeah,
and they just reopened. My friend just went recently.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So we ascertained that you're opening tomorrow. How long do you play?
Through January 5th. We've got 25 shows going to January 5th. A lot of the dates, we have two shows a day, most of them.
And where can folks go get more information about the show?
VortexRep.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you for being on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
It was a pleasure to have you. So that was Darren Peterson and Carlo Gentile, along with videographer Cressandra Thibodeau. And they are part of Vortex Reps and Circus Chicken Dogs, The Muttcracker.
Sweet!
Running December 19th through January 5th at the Vortex. For more information, vortexrep.org. And I realized that my my music is going to be out of whack, but now I just fixed it. This is an interesting song called A Dog is a Man's Best Friend from Top Banana with Phil Silvers. When I... We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We just had a lovely conversation about the Muttcracker.
Sweet.
I just love saying Muttcracker.
Sweet.
And it's, you know, it gives me joy to say Muttcracker.
Sweet.
It's very powerful to say Muttcracker.
Sweet.
Anyway, I'm stalling because I'm taking off this crazy microphone while I'm talking. So let's talk a little bit of local stuff, shall we? Let's do the local stuff. And this is a group I thought about having on the show, but I didn't. So I thought I'd mention them. This is Hill Country Community Theater. And it's the Twisted Christmas Carol.
Yes, I saw this little.
And it is written by Phil Olson, directed by Mike Rudemakers, and it says this about it. It's Christmas Eve in a small Texas town, and cantankerous barbecue joint owner Buford Johnson argues with his wife, telling her he's skipping Christmas. Bah humbug. I added that part. He storms out of the restaurant, gets hit by a twister, rolls his truck, and goes into a coma. In his dream, he's visited by an ex-business partner who takes him on a Dickensian journey, Texas style.
Texas style.
It is playing now through the 22nd, and you can get information at... go to Now Play in Austin, because I don't see a website here.
I actually was trying to look more. I had to go to Now Play in Austin.
Now Play in Austin would be the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just go right... Oh, did you have anything you want to talk about
locally? No, that you covered. That's good.
Okay. I like covering things.
You do.
In theater history. Today in theater history.
What happened, Lisa?
Well, in 1910. Well, you remember, David.
10.
Right?
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
I always do that to David. I don't know why.
10
because he's
good
as old as I am.
10 was a good year, David. We had a good time that
year. 1910 is the birthday of Abe Burrows.
Oh, nice. Well, hello. Bon anniversaire.
Those will recognize him as the librettist of Guys and Dolls, Silk Stockings, Can-Can, How to Succeed in Business, etc. He's also a director.
We always used to call him Dishonest Abe. It was kind of an inside joke.
Just between you guys. 1956, Uta Hagen plays both a man and a woman in The Good Woman of Szechuan by Bertolt Brecht.
Uta Hagen.
It has a 3-week run at the Phoenix, directed by Eric Bentley. And then Katharine Hepburn tries her hand at Broadway.
Did her Broadway.
Do you remember the show she did?
It was this Coco.
It is Coco.
Today is Coco. Well, it's on Coco Chanel.
Which they do not have a recording of anywhere.
No, and you and I somehow, I feel
We've
like Coco haunts
before.
Us because we always are like, how do we get a hold? I'm going to go to the Lincoln Center Library and listen to that Coco.
That's a way to do it. And in 1970, The Me Nobody Knows opens at the Helen Hayes. It's the writings of Urban Teens.
Yeah.
It ran for 378 performances, and it had these actors. Irene Cara, who we haven't heard a lot about lately.
Oh, my gosh. I was just talking about Irene Cara like 2 days ago because my brother and I were talking about Gerald McNaught's failed musical, something Galactica, Via Galactica, yes. That opened with, and I was like, Raul Julia was in it. And I was talking to my brother and I said, Irene Cara. And then we got on a whole 2-day Irene. That's random. Irene, that's random. Sorry.
Most people will remember.
Weird things in life.
Will remember her from Fame. Fame, what's your name? 1985, Jerry's Girls opened at the St. James with Dorothy Loudon, Cheetah Rivera, and Leslie Uggams, among others.
Leslie Uggams. I haven't heard that name in a while.
I knew some people in that show back in the day. Jerry Herman wrote things like Hello Dolly, La Cage Faux, etc. In 2008, Roundabout Theater revived Pal Joey. Which is a Rogers and Hart.
I remember that, yep.
Do you remember who it starred?
No, I don't, actually.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to tell you either. But it was Stockard Channing, Martha Plimpton, Matthew Rice.
Shame on me, because I'm obsessed with Stockard for not remembering that.
Directed by Joe Mantello.
I was just talking about her last night, too. This is very weird that you're talking about the same people.
So this is the death anniversary of Vaclav Havel.
Say that again. That was so impressive.
Vaclav Havel. Yes. People know him as the... president of not Poland, Czech Republic. I was close. I was in the right part geographically. And he was a playwright. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, some people I worked with when I was doing my industrials were working with him before the fall of the wall to try to get his plays into the United States. Wow. And they were making secret trips to Prague to talk to him, which I thought was very
interesting. That's so cool.
And they came back with some amazing stories of this city then
very
under
cloak
communist
and dagger.
Rule. Yep.
Wow.
Theater.
Yeah. And then he became a great playwright. And then they, of course, naturally elected him president.
Mm-hmm.
Like you do with playwrights.
Yeah. Sure. It is also the birthday of Gladys Cooper, Betty Grable, Alzie Davis, Galt McDermott, speaking of hair.
Speaking of Galt McDermott, I'm just talking about that.
Wasn't he Via Galactica?
Via Galactica, yeah. Whole Big Seven performances. It did well.
And Katie Holmes.
And it was like right after Dude had flopped, and Dude closed after like 3 weeks. And that was only like a month before. You said Katie Holmes, right?
I did.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I know it's Katie Holmes' birthday. Okay. I don't know why I know that randomly.
I have a trivia question for
Shoot.
You mentioned Here Come the Brides.
I did.
Pop singer who starred in that.
Oh, that was, what's her name?
No.
No, what's his name? Oh, no, it's Bobby. No.
Come on. You got it. You're there.
Yeah, Bobby.
Sherman,
thank you. Yes, that's true.
You had it. I could see it in your face that it was there and like visually.
Well, I would not have remembered, but I saw a little clip of it yesterday and I saw Bobby Sherman. And that's where everybody had Bobby Sherman's poster up on.
He was like the Ricky Martin of his time.
He was indeed.
Or the Christian Slater, or the depending on what generation.
He was indeed. Right. Let's take a break and listen to that terrific Rainbow from Pal Joey.
Don't you know your mama?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa and Nicole. Yep. Nicole and Lisa.
It's been a jing jang jingo-y show.
It's been that kind of a week.
Don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So let's introduce ourselves to the folks that are here from Penfold Theater. We have David Jarrett. Hi, David.
Hi there.
Robert Barry.
Hi.
And then Ryan Crowder.
Hello.
Now, all three of you are actually performers in this show, correct?
We are, yes.
Nathan Jerkins, who is not here, directed it. Am I right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And adapted it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we adapt to Nathan all the time. So it's about time he did the same thing.
Yeah, but it's kind of had to.
Well, that was a very good
listen. And I guess I don't need to mention this to my listeners, but that Ryan Crowder is also co-artistic director and co-founder of Penfold Theater.
That's right.
And while we're on it, we have David Jarrett, who's the artistic director and founder of Jarrett Productions.
Mm-hmm. True.
And then Robert Barry, who's the founder of Robert Barry Productions.
Sure. It's founded just today, apparently.
Yeah, it's good. Right. Well, I didn't want you to feel lonely.
Well, thank you.
It's a Wonderful Life. Never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, you should check it out. But actually, you're not alone. You know, we've been running this show. Oh, yeah.
What? Seriously? I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, no. I love that people don't know it and that's new to them. That's exciting.
We've been doing this show since 2011, and every time we do it, we hear gasps from the audience at certain points when they're like,
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I was like, really? Oh, spoiler.
He jumped off the bridge? What?
Which is great, right? To get to watch someone watch it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah.
It means the art is still carrying forward, and it's that strong too. So that's just exactly. So cool.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. It's not just some thing that's on the TV in the background while you wrap presents or whatever. There's actually a really good story going on there.
It's the one story that out of all of the Christmas stories, my friends always say, I have to see it. I have to watch it. I have to go to it. Like, or it isn't the holiday for them.
Yeah. I think that's probably true for a lot of people.
Yeah. And as movies go, people know that it was directed by Frank Capra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite manipulative. And that's what some people get angry about. But I don't. I love it. Manipulate me all the way to the end.
It was not a hit when it was first released. And it wasn't intended to be a Christmas movie either.
Oh, yeah.
But it is.
It is. So this is a radio show, though, as you do every Christmas.
Yes.
You do the Christmas Carol, and you do... Do you do Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol, yeah. Miracle on 34th Street, and It's a Wonderful Life. We do those in rotation, basically.
Right. And you typically use the same... Is it the same crew every year for the most part, or do you change it up?
You know, Robert is the only one who has the complete set of radio shows.
I am Mr. Christmas for Penfold Theater.
He is.
I have
he got the hat trick.
Of all three. Yeah.
Do you ever show up and realize you're in the wrong story?
About halfway through each night.
Do you have an Into the Woods moment each night?
Well, it really is problematic whenever Kris Kringle and Scrooge are at odds with one another at the same time.
So tell us what roles we are all playing. So, David, what roles are you? I'm assuming we are doing multiple roles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What roles are you playing?
I do about...
I guess you should say voicing.
I do about 12, but the principal ones are Old Man Potter, Uncle Billy... And Joseph, the superintendent of angels.
Oh, I like Uncle Billy. I do not like Mr. Potter.
Superintendent of angels.
You don't like Mr. Potter.
I don't.
Get out.
I wouldn't sign. I wouldn't sign your lousy papers. And what about you?
Let's see. Well, we've got Clarence, the angel who is just trying to get his wings. That's right. Poor simple Clarence. And we've got. The father, the patriarch of the family, of the Baileys, Pa Bailey. We don't know his actual first name, I don't think. Just Pa Bailey. Harry Bailey.
Isn't it?
The hero.
That's
the young
right.
brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And many, many.
Many,
more.
Many of them.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ryan, who do you play?
I play George Bailey, and that's it.
Yeah, you play, yeah.
That's it.
Commercials, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we get to kind of shake it up during
And the commercials are period commercials, are they not? Or are
period
they...
commercials for actual businesses in our community.
Oh.
Right.
So it's local. Oh, that's even cool. You didn't just pull old commercials from back then. You made them for the local.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, the shop down the street, you know, we're going
to.
We suspend a little bit of disbelief when it comes to the part of advertising a .com or whatever.
Yeah, I guess you are correct. That would not be older.
So I understand you guys are going to do a little part of it for us, yes?
Yes, that's
right. Does it need any kind of setting up? And we'll swing Nicole's microphone over to you so
I'll
you can
share.
Each have
would
a microphone.
Would you like mine, David Jarrett?
So does this need to be set up at all?
Yes, it does.
So
David says it does. So this is George and Clarence the Angel and a local bridge keeper who has just pulled the other two out of the river on Christmas Eve
night. Did jump off the bridge. I knew it. So this is Ryan Crowder, David Jarrett, and Robert Barry doing a scene from Penfold Theater's It's a Wonderful Life, a radio show.
You two warming up all right?
Fine. Thank you, my good man, for the use of your abode.
My what? It's the bridge keeper's hut. I drew short straw for the holiday shift. You both sure you're all right? You want I should call a doctor?
No, I'm all right.
Oh, I'm fine. This underwear is a bit embarrassing, though. I didn't have time to get anything more stylish. My wife gave me this on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
You what,
oh,
mister?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer's drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me.
Sure.
How do you happen to fall in?
Oh, I didn't fall in. I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
I jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide.
Hey, it's against the law to commit suicide around these parts.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Where do you come from?
Heaven.
Huh?
Oh, very funny. Very funny.
Your lips bleeding.
Yeah, I got a bust on the jaw in answer to a prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
You loony.
How do you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you.
What are you supposed to be, anyway?
Oh, Clarence Oddbody AS2.
Oddbody AS2. What's that AS2 for?
Angel, second class.
I'm getting out of here. You two may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Listen here, why'd you want to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel, George.
You look like about the kind of angel I'd get. What happened to your wings?
Oh, I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I see.
But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
No. We don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting. Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, ta-ta-ta.
Of course, I found that out a little late. You know, I'm worth more dead than alive.
You mustn't say that. Joseph will never give me my wings if you keep talking that way. You just don't realize what you've done for folks, George. Why, if it hadn't been for you...
If it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be a lot better off. My wife and kids and friends.
This isn't going to be easy,
I'll be better off without me.
Now, George...
I wish I'd never been born.
George, you have got to... What did you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
George! George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful what?
The idea you just gave me. You've got your wish. You've never been born.
Never been born?
Exactly. No worries. No $8,000 to get. Nothing. You simply don't exist.
Yeah, all right, okay.
George, I can show you the world the way it would be if you hadn't been born.
Well, this ear of mine, whatever, say something else in this bad ear.
You don't have a bad ear anymore. I don't think you're concentrating. You're not George Bailey anymore, don't you see? Well, you're nobody.
That's a doggondest thing.
Mm, yeah, your lips stop bleeding too, George.
Oh, yeah, so it is. That's funny. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I need a drink. What about you, Angel? You want a drink?
I don't know.
No, come on, we'll go over as soon as our clothes are dry.
Our clothes are dry, George.
Oh, so they are. Well, all right, well, get dressed. We'll walk over to Martini's and then... Well, I'm sorry. I'll walk. You fly.
No. I don't have my wings.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have your wings yet. Well, a couple of drinks in us. We'll both fly.
Okay, that is great. I love that movie, and you have a great take on it. So
thank you.
It's so much fun. So now you guys are...
I really enjoyed that.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you're at the Old Settlers Hall up in Round Rock.
Yes, that's right.
And so this is one of the things that's great about Penfold Theater. You are the servant of two masters, if you will, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Both north and south. So you have a mission of providing theater for folks up north, as well as doing some stuff here down south. Now, did I read that you're also doing an extra performance of this somewhere other than Old Settlers Hall?
Yeah, so to your point, most of the run is happening up in Round Rock at the Old Settlers Hall, except for this Sunday. This Sunday, we've got a one-night-only performance at the Driscoll Hotel.
That's
going to be awesome. We'll be in the big grand ballroom there at the Driscoll, which will be all decked out for Christmas. So a great way to end the run.
That is great. So now you did this with Ghost Quartet as well.
We did, yeah.
So is this something we're going to see more often from Penfold?
I hope so. We've made a great relationship with those folks. They take great care of us, and we'd love to see this happen more. And I think they would, too. They're eager to have more stuff happening there.
Great. Well, I know you're open now. How long do you play?
This weekend, we have 5 performances, Thursday, Friday, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday, and then we're done.
And then you're done. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I forgot to ask you where folks can go to get more information about the show.
To the website, www.penfoldtheater.org.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
That was Ryan Crowder, David Jarrett, and Robert Barry of Penfold Theater's It's a Wonderful Life radio show through December 21st at Old Settlers Hall and this Sunday at the Driscoll. For more information, you may visit penfoldtheater.org. And of course, this is from It's a Wonderful Life, the musical.
Excellent. When I was only
9 years old, I fell in. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
And earlier we had on the Muttcracker.
Yes.
I was just checking to see if that would still work. And it did. So next week is Christmas. Or so I am told.
Fa la 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 la. Yes, you're going to spend Christmas Eve with me.
Yeah, we're going to have a pajama party.
And then
here
we're going to have a pajama party. I'm going to wear my Rockettes Radio Christmas Spectacular PJs.
Great. And so next week, it's just going to be Nicole and I. We're going to spend some Christmas theater tunes.
We're going to be full from the Feast of the Seven Fishes the night before.
Yeah, we're going to have fish. And So also, any of you folks that are around that want to stop by the Co-op Studios and say hello here during Christmas, you're welcome to come by.
Or maybe they, if they have a favorite Christmas tune, because we know that.
Yeah, you can email.
I have a favorite Christmas show tune.
I've heard that.
So who else does?
So you can feel free to email me at lisa@offstageonair.com, and we'll play something that you like, if you like.
La 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 la.
La 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 la. Speaking of commercials, I like that commercial when the young girl goes, "I'm fa la la la" in a lot more nowadays.
Does just that saying. Feel like you?
What?
Is that you? Do you fa la la a lot more?
No, I don't fa la la at all. I think we've ascertained that.
No, you
bah
do
humbug
sometimes.
With the encores. No. Bah humbug with the Christmas carols. Just bah humbug in general.
That's not always true.
So we're going to have two of these shows. Next week is going to be just us. And I think the first, we also are here on the first. On New
we
Year's
are.
Day.
We are.
And we'll also have another just playing your favorite New Year's Day show tunes.
I may still be out by the dumpsters backstage. Yeah.
Well, you could do that. So, well, that's it. So,
like us, visit us, give us a review and tell us how awesome we are.
Yeah, so far we've gotten a whole bunch of reviews. We need yours.
Yeah,
exactly. And you can get that at Apple Podcasts. We have the podcast. You should be listening to the podcast because you get to go backstage at Offstage and learn about our guests, which is also, we have a lot of fun on backstage.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you don't get on here. Yep. But the best way is to go to offstageandonair.com and enter your email on the little button on the right. And each week the show just appears. Voila! We're there.
Voila,
Lisa
we're there.
And Nicole arrive in your mailbox.
If
you're better than Christmas.
It is. Nothing's better than Christmas. If you are listening on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. If you're listening on the podcast, and you should, we'll be backstage. So come with us backstage. Stick around. Next week, we're going to look at what's happening. What's... I don't know.
We're going to be spinning Christmas tunes
spinning
and telling
Christmas
you
carols.
What's happening on Offstage and on the air.
That's it. We'll be back.
12 days to Christmas. 12 days to Christmas. Plenty of time to do my Christmas shopping.
Okay, the curtain has just come down on Sweet, the musical. The story of a candy maker who was walking down the street and turned into a candy store. Ba-dum-bum. Anyway, that's it. So back here, we have joining us, the show is over. We've left. We're outside the backstage door next to the dumpsters. Apologize for the smell. But we have Darren Peterson. Hi, Darren.
Yoo-hoo!
Yoo-hoo! We have Carlo Gentile.
Hi again.
Yeah, Carlo!
And Cassandra Thibodeau is here too, but she's not near a microphone, so she waved.
But she's smiling.
She's smiling.
A lovely smile.
So I just need to start here. So backstage, as you know, is where we come to learn a little bit more about you. And you've both been back here, have you not?
I've never been. This is my first time
Carlo,
near
but
the dumpster.
I mean,
you
I love it. You've back come here. Back here several times.
I love
the dumpsters. Are attractive, are they not?
They are.
It's kind of a cool place to be, right?
But let's just start right off the bat with talking about this documentary that's happening. Tell us about this documentary.
I have no idea. I got a call that said, hey, we want to film stuff. And I'm like, you go for it. And they keep inviting themselves places. And I'm like, you know, if you think this is interesting, you come right on over. And
well, you told me prior to the show starting that the documentary was more about your brother than you. Is that correct?
I think so. They're fascinated by James's life. I'm fascinated by James's life. I'm like, what is going on with James?
So James he's your autistic brother who just had his 45th birthday yesterday, right?
Yes, and he had another 45th birthday this morning.
But you know what? Sometimes you need
I was like, you could do
multiple
birthday months or birthday week. Yeah. So I'm all for that, James. I advocate for that one.
But James hasn't always lived with you, right?
Yeah, he came to live with me about 4 years ago. I guess it's 5 years ago now. I lose track. And he keeps getting more and more competent. And he's like, he doesn't need me in the house at all.
Does anybody?
Not now that James is there. Yeah, I'd have to go home and let the dogs out. But James can do all of that now. He cooks for himself. I'm like, James, I might not be there for lunch. And he's like, get out of here. And he keeps getting more and more CDs. He's got thousands of CDs, and he just listens to CDs constantly. Queen came out with their box set of 15 CDs. He got that, and he listened to them straight through, and then he listened to a bunch of CDs, and then he was like,
you know, Queen, Straight Through Again, and then about a month later, you know, like those CDs were inspiring him to listen to other CDs.
And so then, he's a CD listener tour.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I want to find out about Carlo. So what's your story? Where'd you come from?
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. A little show came through there, same show that Darren actually you started with, Royal Lichtenstein Circus, right. Also.
So what's the name of the circus?
It's called the Royal Lichtenstein Circus. And joined up with that show right out of high school, traveled around with them for a couple of years, 300 and something shows a year. Circus, doing clowning, unicycling, Diablo, juggling.
Well, circus arts is a very specific thing. Had you been studying them prior to joining that circus?
I started juggling when I was 16.
Yeah.
And doing some Chinese yo-yo, also known as Diablo.
Like the studying of circus arts is a new thing in the U.S. as far as I'm aware. You know,
I came very close to going to clown college myself in 1977.
Now, clown college existed in 77 for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's been an explosion of circus schools.
Oh, correct.
In the last 30 years. About 20 years ago, we started the American Youth Circus Organization, which mostly caters to, as its name implies, kids doing circus in a variety of different settings, recreational, social circus, whatever. There might have been 10 groups around the country that we were trying to bring together and communicate, you know, just to
put their resources together and get out there. Yeah,
pool our resources. And now there are every major metropolitan area has at least one circus school, if not more, and professional, semi-pro, recreational, social.
What's the name of the organization?
The American Youth Circus Organization, ICO.
Me how a kid who's learned how to juggle finds himself joining a circus. How did that happen?
Well, this show that came through to my high school.
The Lichtenstein.
Yeah, the Royal Lichtenstein Circus. Giant quartering. Yes, royal. They accepted. It was all volunteer. So, you know, some 18-year-old kid says, hey, I want to spend a year traveling with you guys. And they're like,
carry this box over there. Like, yeah. And they're in the show.
Come on over.
Yeah, so I spent 2 years doing that. And then
now, Darren, were you on the show at the time that Carlo joined it?
No, Carlo was on there like the 3 years prior to the year I was on. And I didn't meet Carlo until like at least 20, 25 years after I was on that show.
Okay, so y'all didn't know each other during...
Did not know each other during that.
So how did you find yourself in the Royal Lichtenstein Circus?
I was juggling at UT, and this guy came through for the summer. He was on his summer break, Joe Reichlin, and he thought that he was coming to Austin to spend that summer with his girlfriend, and shows up and his girlfriend's like, hey, I got a boyfriend. And Joe was like, had nothing to do, and he hung out with me and my juggling friends for the summer. And then I was in the middle of my semester at college later on, and I got a phone call. Back in the days of answering machines,
I remember those.
I was like, hey, you know that guy that was here during the summer? He's his circus is there. And if I hadn't gotten that message, well, I rode my bike back to the school and saw the show. And Joe told the guy that I was a good juggler, and they gave me an application.
Awesome. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Now, you have some crazy ass degree like math, correct?
Yes, I have a BS in math.
Okay, I can't even believe you remembered it. I love that you were like some crazy ass degree.
Carlo
like
has
math.
An actual degree also.
Do you?
What do you have a degree in?
Bachelor's in Italian.
That makes
very
sense.
Useful when
molto
working.
Bono.
Yeah.
And Carlo's wife has a master's in
conservation biology and sustainable development.
All these things are quite useful.
Yeah.
That's
circus.
In the circus.
In the circus, yeah. Well, you know, you've got to worry about how you sustain everything when you've got all that elephant poop.
Well, you're traveling, so I mean, you want to keep your imprint.
Very ecologically sound.
So you were both jugglers. Did what other circus arts did you pick up along the way?
I unicycled. I got really interested in dog training after the circus was over. I'd already rollerballed, but like I developed an act.
Define. I know what rollerballa means,
but the listeners may not. Actually, that's a good Lisa.
It's an incredibly dangerous circus balancing act in which you
on a ball.
A roller, yeah.
Oh, the roller with
cylinder,
with a
ball.
With a piece of wood.
Yes, that's like. Yeah.
And I do in the show. I do that as a surfing routine, and the dogs go through the roller as I'm doing it.
So
okay, that's really cool.
So the dogs are the ones in peril.
Yes, yeah. Right.
The
great thing about that is they're so distracting. Like as they're running around, it does make it a lot more dangerous for me. For me.
For you.
For
oh,
me.
I thought it was just.
Well, okay. So let's, what other things interest the two of you, rather, other than circus, math, Italian, and conservancy?
Conservation.
What are your other passions? That's it?
Reality.
Well, so
every
Carly,
moment.
No. You've decided to make this a family affair. So you you said six. So there's four kids?
Yeah, four. Yes.
And they're all part of the family.
They're all part of the family.
Which is a circus tradition, is it not?
It is. Although,
it's nice that you include every single one of those kids in the family.
Hey.
What's so I don't understand the obviously there's some kids that might be a little too young to actually do any circus arts. Is that why you say that?
I don't know why he says this because he's goofy, but
no, the family. It's nice that you let the kids in the family.
My youngest is three, and she doesn't do a lot in the show. But that's the thing; everybody does what they're capable and interested in doing. Mm-hmm. My oldest, when he was five, he got kind of serious. He was three when he came into the ring the first time. It was his third birthday, and that was his first performance, so he'd always be dressing in a costume just in case he wandered into the ring or whatever.
Sure, that's right. What I do.
It's the best way to do it. And then he's, you know, at five he started to make the connection between a longer term training and like chipping away at skills and achieving some higher results. And he, since he was five, he wanted to train like intensely, relatively seriously, right? Now, my daughter, who's 11, about 2 years younger than him, she would just as soon read. You know, if she comes into the training space with a book in her hand, you can forget about her doing any training. It's always, oh, I got to finish this chapter. I got to finish this page. And you're like, Julia, it's your turn. Julia, come on. And she's like, wait. So, you know, she'd rather be reading. But she'd rather be reading in as high of a perch as possible. So we're in a training space, and she's on a trapeze. You know, she'll carry her book up to the trapeze, and she's just sitting there on the trapeze reading. You know, she loves being
very
in
Matilda of her.
So we're working on this routine where she has a book. That's like the latest thing that I've been working on with her. She's got a book in her hand, and we do all the acrobatic flips and moves while she's holding a book, and she finds moments to read and open the book. So we're combining two things.
That's really cool.
What I love about both of you is you really involve your family in your arts. So that's awesome.
It's a community within a community.
It
almost.
Is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us backstage.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
I'm sorry if the dumpsters were too aromatic for you, but some of us just get used to it.
This is what I live for. Like, I got my eye on that banana that's rotting over there.
We may have to duke it out on that one. I don't know.
There's our first fish course right there.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining us backstage.
Thanks.
See ya. Bye.
So you're back in the dumpster. Well, that's like a metaphor. Everyone has a dumpster, a stumbling block they can't ignore, but to fight it makes you stronger.